Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Once people find forgiveness and freedom in Christ, they realize how enslaved they once were to the power of sin. Jesus came to deliver people from sin and give them abundant life and joy. To learn more, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer concludes a four-part series on the gifts Jesus brought to us. We're learning about gift number four, Jesus, the gift of freedom. Here again is Dr. Lutzer.
With Seneca, who cried, "Oh, that a hand would come down from heaven and deliver me from my besetting sin." I'm speaking to you now heart to heart. Just want you to understand and listen very carefully when I tell you this. You and I don't need a whole lot more good teaching. What we need is spiritual power to live differently, as the angel said, to deliver his people from their sins. And only Jesus is able to do that. Only Jesus is able to do that. And that's why we exalt him, and that's why we remember his birthday. It is because he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of all gods, the one deliverer, the one savior, whom we proclaim to the world. Now, a couple of things to help us take these strands and bring them together. I've already made the point, but I want to emphasize that the worst possible slavery is slavery to sin. Now, these Jewish people, God bless them, they were not, when they said, we've never been slaves of anyone, they were not referring to political slavery, because they were under the yoke of the Roman Empire. And of course, the Jewish nation had been under the yoke of Egypt and other countries all the way through. And so they understood all that. But what they were saying is that religiously, we've never been slaves to anyone. Religiously, we have been free. What they didn't realize was, because they failed to acknowledge the depth of their need, they were really slaves to their thought patterns that put them in much better light than they were. Something like a little boy who said to his mother, I'm 8 feet tall. Really? And he was, according to the yardstick that he had made. The Bible says that when we judge ourselves by others, we sin and we are not wise. So first of all, the worst kind of slavery you can have is slavery to sin. It is a bad taskmaster. And I'm speaking to people who think that they are free. They can do whatever they like. They can go wherever they want. They can indulge in whatever they want to indulge in. And they say to themselves, I am free. And I say to you today, you are bound. You are bound. You wake up in the morning and it's sin that tells you what to do. And no matter how much you rationalize it, you do it. It's a terrible kind of bondage. And there's bondage to the conscience. Someday at Moody Church, I want to preach a series of messages on the conscience. Have been gathering material on that for a while. And I think, for example, of a man, true story, who murdered someone when he was basically a teenager, something like about the age of 18. And the police questioned him and all, but he was never charged. He grew up, married, had a family, and became a Christian. And years later, I mean, I'm talking about 25 years later, he turned himself into the authorities because he said he couldn't live with his conscience. And he said later, and in one of my books I quote him, when he said that, I'm a freer man here behind bars than I was when I was on the outside. There is a freedom of the spirit that can only be given by truth, which sets people free. The worst kind of bondage is bondage to self. I'm told that Alexander the Great, you remember before he died, he wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. But someone suggested that there was another world that Alexander had not conquered, and that is the world of the heart. And that, by the way, is one of the reasons I'm preaching the series of messages that I told you about, going to preach it, because it was Luther who said, "I fear my own heart more than I do the Pope." And what we need to do is to recognize that there is a slavery to the human heart. Secondly, the truth sets us free. The truth sets us free. Jesus was saying to these religious people, if you want to be free, you have to take off the mask and deal with reality and see yourself and see God. You know, it was Calvin, the great theologian, who in the beginning of his institutes, and by the way, his institutes became the textbook for Protestant theology for about 200 years. But he begins by saying that there are two kinds of knowledge. There's knowledge of God and knowledge of self, and sometimes it's hard to know which comes first. But one thing is sure, you can't have one without the other. You can't know who you are unless you're in God's presence. And knowledge of self comes by the knowledge of God. You want to know what our big problem is in our society? Everything seems to be going haywire. It's people who think they know who they are without any reference at all to God. That they can just on their own find out who they are, find out their own morality, and find out their own direction without knowing God. But God sees behind the mask. You know, during the days many years ago of the O.J. Simpson trial, the prosecution began one of its defenses, or one of its assaults, I guess would be more accurate, saying this: wealth and fame can't change this simple truth. O.J. Simpson is a person. People have a good side and a bad side. We will show you the other side of the smiling face. Now, no matter where you come down on the verdict that was eventually given, that's irrelevant to the point that I'm making. People have a good side and a bad side, and God sees what is on the other side of the smiling face. He sees the anger, the envy, the secret addictions, the other part of our life. And Jesus said that when you come to me, you can be truthful in my presence. And when you know the truth about yourself and you know the truth about Jesus and who I am, you can be free. Of course, we continue to struggle with sin. But sin no longer is our taskmaster. We keep looking to Jesus for the deliverance that was promised by the angel to Joseph and Mary, that he will save his people from his sins. And then, of course, the bottom line is that truth has to be received, doesn't it? It has to be received. As you go through the rest of this text, you'll discover that there are those who rejected Jesus, and they want to stone him, and they want to kill him, all in the name of religion, by the way. And so there were those who went their way, and then the disciples of Jesus went another way, and so it is that Jesus is constantly dividing people. And that's what he does today, too. You must confront this Christ. The question is, are you going to receive what he has to say? You'll notice that Jesus said that truth has to be received. If you abide in my word, I'm back in verse 31. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. It isn't just simply making a decision for Jesus, important though that is, because there is a time when you cross that threshold, but that you abide in the truth, that truth becomes a part of you, that you are reading the truth, that you are allowing the word of God to impact your life, and then the truth begins to grow in your heart, and it overcomes the error. Jesus came to die. We emphasize Bethlehem, of course, during the Christmas season, but remember that Jesus was really born crucified. And when Simeon held the little baby in his arms, you remember he said that this baby came that the hearts of many would be revealed. And God sees who we are today behind the mask. And he says, if you know the truth and you receive the truth, you'll be fully free, free indeed. Seneca, as I mentioned, oh, that a hand would come down from heaven and deliver me from my besetting sin. Seneca, your wish has been granted. Jesus has come to save us from our sins. And may we rejoice in that at this Christmas season. I want to conclude with Phillips Brooks, who wrote that lovely song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. He was there during the winter. This was, I think, back in the 1800s, saw the beautiful town and wrote that hymn that all of us love. But I choose it because of the last stanza. I looked at it this morning, and I'll see if I can remember it. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. If you've never received Christ as Savior, if you've never responded to the truth, give up the mask. Come as you are, but come to Christ. Because remember the words of the angel. He shall save his people from their sins. Let us rejoice in the real message of the manger.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. May I have a personal word with you from my heart to yours? As we look back over this past year, we are so grateful for the way in which God has blessed us. We've expanded the ministry of Running to Win. I have in my hand a book I've written entitled The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to be a Light in the Darkness. We've been mentioning it on this program, and today will be the last day we will mention it since it's the end of the year. This reveals my heart for the church, deals with false gospels within the evangelical church, transgenderism, also, and the sexual issues that are taking place in our society, immigration. These are the issues that are discussed. Now, this book can be yours for a gift of any amount. But as this is the end of the year and the last time we are offering it on this broadcast, I'm going to ask you to be generous. Many of you have connected with us in the past. You've listened to Running to Win. We have come into your home or your car or your office, and we've been a blessing to you. And you've never given to this ministry. We just hope that you'll seek the Lord about this. We know that all these things are in His hands, and we want only His will. But remember, the church in Babylon, heeding the call to be light in the darkness, may God grant us that grace as we face a new year.
Skip Heitzig from Calvary Church in Albuquerque says, I could feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the pages of The Church in Babylon. I truly wish that every Christian I know could read this book. It gives an unclouded view of where we find ourselves in today's culture. The Church in Babylon book can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.